Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as we have our minds on the Christmas season, I have turned my attention to a Christmas text on the Beacon broadcast, and that is the prophecy in Malachi chapter 5 concerning the place of the Messiah's birth. It is Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." What a wonderful text, what a wonderful prophecy, what a wonderful Savior is told us in this prophecy given several hundred years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the very city foretold by the prophet Micah. And so we'll gather together again around the Word of God on this Friday, December 24. I'm thankful that you could join us today. We can carry on these broadcasts only because of the help of our radio listeners, and I would encourage you to consider a year-end gift for the Beacon broadcast. Thank you for your consideration. Well, what have we learned so far about this text? We have noticed its background, which is a time of decline and disruption and weakness and danger and fear for the nation of Israel. Verse 1 says, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek." This is talking about warfare. It's talking about a siege against the city of Jerusalem, which culminated in the overthrow of that city. It's talking about a humiliating defeat of Israel's ruler. The king who was on the throne at that time, probably Zedekiah. And this is the background. Things look bad. Things look dark. But against that darkness, we have this encouraging prophecy in the next verse. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And from this little town of Bethlehem, this little village of Bethlehem, a village so small, so insignificant, that it often gets overlooked when they're counting up the cities in Judah. But nevertheless, from this insignificant place will come a significant person. From this insignificant place will come the most significant person sent by the Father, sent by Jehovah, Yahweh. "Out of you shall come forth to me," or from me, "one who is to be ruler in Israel." And then we are given this astounding information: "whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." He who will be ruler in Israel will not be just another son of David, not another Solomon, not another Rehoboam, not another man in the line of David, though he will be in the line of David. He will sit upon David's throne. He will be the legitimate ruler in Israel in the dynasty that God has established to descend from David. But he's going to be someone who transcends all human and earthly dimensions and turns out to be one who is eternal, whose goings forth are from of old. That's a strange thing to say about a human being. And then when you add from everlasting, you realize this cannot be a mere man. It is a man. He is a descendant of David. He is going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. He will come from an earthly location because he will be born to a human mother in that particular place, but it will be that this one who is born of a woman is also the everlasting God of the universe, the one who has no beginning, the one who is eternal, the one who never began because he always was and always is and always will be. He is God Almighty. This is the God-man. And he comes on a significant mission. Verse 3 tells us, therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. This is simply to say that he will come after an intentional delay. And this verse that I just read to you talks about his humanity. It talks about his birth. Until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. But it talks about an intentional delay. The people of Israel longed for, at least the godly believing remnant, longed for the promised Messiah, and in some cases, I think, chafed, or at least were puzzled by the long, long delay from the time of the promise till the time of fulfillment. But this is all part of God's design. This is what God intended. And in the fullness of time, Paul tells us in Galatians, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he comes after an intentional delay. It seems like a long time. It seems like a delay to those of us who live in the confines of time and who live our lives in a period of decades, not centuries or millennium, and therefore it seems like an awful long delay. Just like the second coming of Christ seems like a long, long delay to those who are anticipating that. But you can be certain that God has a perfect time, and if there is a delay, as it seems to us, it is part of his design. It is intentional. But then we're told of this one who's coming that he will shepherd his flock, verse 4. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He will shepherd his flock. He will lead and sustain his people, this one who is promised, and he will extend his influence to the ends of the earth. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Little pieces of the person and work of the Messiah are scattered throughout this prophecy by Micah of the birthplace of Jesus Christ. He is sent by Jehovah to be ruler in Israel, he who has been active forever in eternity past. He will come at God's appointed time after what would us seem like a delay, but it is an intentional delay. He will shepherd his flock, that is, he will lead and sustain his people, for he comes to Israel as Israel's Messiah. But his purpose, his plan, his mission extends far beyond the confines of the nation of Israel. It extends to the ends of the earth. That's why there's hope for me. That's why there's hope for you. That's why there's hope for anyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who will submit to the ruler of this king who has come and is coming again. And one more thing, he will bring peace. Verse 5, and this one shall be peace. He will bring peace because he is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So what is the purpose of Messiah's activity? It is to declare truth, administer justice, eliminate corruption, and inaugurate peace. Wouldn't we like to have a ruler like that today? We are burdened. We are so concerned and, yes, at times distressed by what we see going on in government today. But there is one coming who comes to declare truth and nothing but the truth. No lie shall ever escape his lips, unlike human rulers that we are far too familiar with. He comes to administer justice. No double standard. No one law for these people and a different law for other people. No, this law will be vigorously enforced for this group and it will be ignored for another group. No, he comes to administer justice. You can expect perfect justice from him. He comes to eliminate corruption. We are saddened by the corruption that seems to be getting larger with every passing year. More and more and more and more corruption in human society. More and more and more corruption in human government. But when this one comes, he will eliminate corruption and he will inaugurate peace. How? By proclaiming the Word of God. He will declare truth, we have been told. By administering according to God's law. He comes to bring justice because he comes to apply God's law consistently to every person and every situation. How will he accomplish these things? By dealing with sin. That's why there's corruption, because of sin. And so he's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with it in two ways. Number one, he's going to die on the cross to pay sin's penalty, and in that way conquer sin's power when he rises from the dead. But he will expose and convict of sin in human hearts, bringing people to acknowledge their sin, to repent of their sin, to turn from their sins, by creating new hearts that delight in truth and righteousness, and by ruling in righteousness. For those who will not turn to truth, will not turn away from sin, will not acknowledge their sin, will not repent, there will be just judgment meted out, because he will rule in perfect righteousness. And this, my friends, is the wonderful message of Christmas. This, my friends, is the longing of every human heart. The birth of the King, one who will inaugurate peace and righteousness, and therefore he has come, and he is already doing these things in the hearts of those who trust in him, and he will come again to finalize these things over all the earth. Therefore, surrender to his rule. Be blessed by his accomplishments. Hear and heed the announcement of his blessed mission. That is the message of Christmas. That is the message of the Beacon broadcast, and I pray that you will hear and heed it today. Until next week, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.